God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. I am continually amazed at the depth of the stories in the Bible, which is deceiving a little bit because sometimes you read Bible stories and it's just straight ahead. In fact, it's almost flat, the storyline. There are a lot of things you may wonder about that are not given in the details. And yet at the same time, there are so many details, there are so many layers as far as characters and irony and poetic justice and so on that you find in any given story, even the short stories sometimes, that it's easy to gloss right over them. Now, if this were just literature, the author would have said, now, take note of this. This is very ironic. But so many times, things like this in the Bible are not even, they're not even highlighted. You just have to notice them or you do not. And so I noticed some things I had not noticed before. A couple of these I had, a couple of these I had not. In the story in 2 Samuel 15 of David fleeing his son Absalom, who was basically causing a rebellion in the kingdom to take over the kingship of David. A lot had happened, but there's a lot of irony here. Irony actually is not the correct word, perhaps, but a lot of layers to this story. Let me give you a couple of examples. So in verse 4, Absalom, David's son, is winning over the hearts of the people against his father David. And he says to those who come to bring some judgment to the king, "Oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man would which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice." Well, he was concerned about justice because he hadn't gotten that. When his sister Tamar had been violated by Amnon, David had done little to nothing. And so here is David with a daughter named Tamar, and here is Absalom, his rebellious son, who names his daughter, you guessed it, Tamar. So interesting. Second point of interest is just thinking about the fact that David once hid from Saul, and now David was hiding from his own son, Absalom. Saul's son, Jonathan, was a friend to David, and David's son, Absalom, was an enemy to David. Here's another one. In verse 19, the Bible says, "Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile." Three times there are friends that are offered to join David and his company as they flee from Absalom and the rebellion back in Jerusalem. And three times he sends these friends back and says, hey, you will do more good for me back in Jerusalem than you will running off and hiding with me. One such instance is a guy named Ittai the Gittite. Well, I'd never seen this before, but you look up who this is. And Ittai was a Philistine. He was from Gath, the birthplace of David's foe, Goliath. In fact, some people think that this man, Ittai, was the son of Achish, the king of Gath. So there was a time when David and his mighty men fled to Philistia, became the king of Gath's basically personal bodyguard, and hid out there. Now, years later, David is fleeing again, not from Saul, but from his own son. And the king of Gath, his son, Ittai, is bringing a group of men to David's country. So that's interesting. Here's another note of interest in this story. In verse 12, the Bible says that Absalom sent for Ahithophel, who was David's counselor, and he was part of the conspiracy. Well, many people believe that Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandfather. Now, suffice it to say, there is a lot going on here. This is not a flat story. As straight ahead as the narrative is, there are so many things going on here that it's hard to grasp them all, especially when they're not highlighted as something special. They're just part of the story. Now, you know, the truth is the same thing is happening in your life every day. There are so many layers to your life, most of which you're probably not even aware. There may be poetic justice in play right now. There may be irony in play right now. There might be repetition of history in your life right now. There are just so many, there's so much water passing under the bridge every day that there's no way you can keep up with it all, certainly not when you're busy in life. Now, here's a takeaway for us this morning or this afternoon or whenever it is you may be listening to this. It is not your grasp of events that gives you safety. How can you possibly grasp all that is going on in your life? It is not your grasp of events that gives you safety. It is God's. And that's where faith comes in, because God knows things that I could not possibly even notice. I have a hard time noticing it as I, you know, somewhat objectively read another man's story. Thousands of years later, I read David's story and I see all these different elements that were complexities to David's story. I don't even see those. How could I possibly see mine when I'm right in the middle of it? It reminds me of something I told a group of men the other day here on the ranch, and that is, I'm not saved because of my memory. I'm saved because of God's. Now, I think if you've trusted Christ as Savior, it's important to help yourself remember that important event. But at the end of the day, ultimately, assurance may come because I remember some decision I made, but I'm not saved because of my memory. What if that fades, as imperfect as it is? I'm saved because of God's memory. So likewise, it is not your grasp of events in your life that gives you safety today. It is God's, and you can trust Him.